Recording. Okay, got it. So for our final Shemitah year is going to be on the Kedushas Peros of Shvius. Okay, what is the status of the Peros, right? Especially in light of Otzer Bezdin, where you can actually get Kedushas Peros Shvius on Shvius. So what do you need to do with them? What can you do with them? What can't you do with them? How do we treat them? And what do we think about them? So, the first question is like, you know, what is the Kedusha? So the Yerushalmi darshins, Ksiv ki yovel hi, kodesh tiyeh lechem, v'gomer mahi kodesh, af tivuata kodesh. Right? It kind of leaves it at that. Which, right, if you leave it at that, it definitely gives you the vibe that we're talking about Kedusha, right? It's actually kadosh. It has sanctity. The Gemara in Sukkah does have the same drasha, although the context kind of gives it a different vibe. Tani kibasi der belazar, shvi'it tofeset et dameha, shne'emar ki yovel hi kodesh tiyeh lachem, ma kodesh tofes et damav v'asur, af shvi'it tofeset et dameha v'asura. Okay? We were saying, right, that just like things that are kodesh, if you sell them, right, the tumura, the thing that you're selling them for, takes on their kedusha, right? You can be move the kedusha or pode them with the kedusha. So too, peros shvius, whatever you bought or sold them for, becomes kodesh. Now the I ma kodesh tafas damav v'yotzei lechulin, when you're pode kodshim, it becomes chulin, right? It stops being kodesh, and the kedusha moves to the new object. Af shvi tafeset tamei v'yotzei lechulin tamulomar tihiyeh b'havayata tehei. Okay, so peros shvius, what you bought, the money that you used to buy them becomes kodesh, but the food itself remains kodesh as well. Hakitzad lakach perot shvit basar, ilu ve'ilu mitbarim b'shvit, lakach b'basar dagim, yatsa basar v'nichnasu dagim, lakach b'dagim yain, yatsi dagim v'nichnas yain, lakach b'yain shemen, yatsa yain v'nichnas shemen, hakitzad acharon nichnas b'shvit, u'pri atzmo asur. The pri is always kodesh b'kedusha shvius. The money used to buy it becomes kadosh with kedusha shvius. The money, if you then buy something else with it, then that other thing becomes kadosh with kedusha shvius. So it's basically two things that are kadosh. The fruit is kadosh, and whatever you bought with the money for it. Okay. Now, the question becomes, right, what is this kedusha? Right, on the one hand, we're saying it's like kodesh, and it's tofes es dameha, right? Whatever you bought with the money of shvius becomes kadosh, and you need to do beer with. On the other hand, and you have to treat it like shemitah produce. On the other hand, right, we're kind of emphasizing that unlike shemitah, unlike kodesh, you are not poda. The kedusha doesn't transfer, right? But both become kadosh. So the question is, like, what's the nature of this kedusha? Now, we could say, okay, it's just kadosh, and the original fruit is so kadosh that it never stops being kadosh. Almost like in tumura by kachim is beach, right? If you try to do tumura, if you like, you know, swap one animal with the other, then just both are kadosh, right? Because you can't take away the kedusha from the original, but because this is a chefs shel kedusha, by trying to transfer it to something else, that makes the other one also kodesh. So maybe that's the same thing. That would be like one extreme. The other extreme is to say, well, actually, right, maybe there's no kedusha at all. Right? Why? Because what's the real nafkamina here? The nafkamina here is the idea that you need to do biur at the end of, right, at the end when you don't have any peros left in the field, so you have to get rid of the peros, you can't keep them abayis. Same thing is true to the fruit that you bought with it. Now, in theory, right, you can argue on the opposite extreme, there's no kedusha inherent in the peros, but you're allowed to use them only for a very specific purpose. Lachem lo achla, lechla v'lo leschora. If that's true, so you're given permission to use them in a very specific way. When you sell it, let's say, and you get money in return, the money isn't necessarily something totally distinct, right? Money is sort of like a placeholder for value and for usage of certain, right, raw materials and services, etc. So maybe we see the money as just like a placeholder for the fruit, and you're still using the fruit, right? You gave Bob the fruit because he wanted the fruit. In return, he gave you money. But now that money is something that you're getting, it's hana that you're getting from the fruit. But you're only allowed to get hana from the fruit up to Zman Bior, right? And you're only allowed to get hana from the fruit, right? Derech achila, lachla velo lehefzed, lachla velo leschora, lachla velo, right? And not after Bior. So if maybe it's just like, okay, you have the fruit, you're still getting hana from the fruit through the money or through whatever object it's going, the value is transferring through. So it's not that there's kedusha and that kedusha is moving around, right? It's simply you're still using the pri, but now indirectly. So the pri itself is always going to have kedusha shvias because it's the pri of shvias. But the hana that you're getting it at, from it through the money, right, is still hana from the peiro shvias, which you're only allowed to get in certain specific ways. Okay, so those are like the two extremes. In the middle, Rav Rimon likes the idea. He only mentioned this as the only idea, but it is a very good idea that really the kedusha, there is some kedusha of peiro shvias, right? But the problem is you don't own it. So by like Maaser Sheni, you own the fruit, so you could transfer its kedusha, right? Maaser Sheni is kadosh to be used in Yerushalayim, right? So it's not like fundamentally kadosh as much as it has a kedusha that you're supposed to use it for a specific purpose, and you own it, and you have the opportunity or the option to transfer the kedusha onto money to bring to Yerushalayim and to eat the fruit here, right, in outside of Yerushalayim. So that only works if you actually own the fruit. By Shemitah, you don't own the fruit. So you can't transfer the kedusha. You can't be poed to them and make them non-Shemitah because you don't own them in order to do that. Now, the only problem is then why does any transfer happen? Right? If you don't own it in order to be poed to and make it chulin, so then the fruit should remain kadosh and the money should not. So you still have to say the idea that fundamentally there's still this idea that the money represents the hana you're getting from the fruit, right? Money is a placeholder for the value or benefit you're extracting from the fruit, and then that benefit is still tied into the same isurim as the fruit itself. Okay, fine. So then this Gemara doesn't necessarily tell us one way or the other if it's like actually kadosh or if it's simply that you're limited in the usage, and then any of the money that you get from it would be limited similarly. Okay, the Tosefta says, a shemen shel shvit in sachinota biyadayim tmeot. But once it falls on you, so you don't have to like knock it off, you can use it and rub it in, even with a diamond tomato. So the fact that you can't be sachin otel be a diamond tomato, you can't use it as like ointment when your hands are tame, right, would at least initially give us the impression that it's kadosh. Right? You're not allowed to be tame, right? I don't know. Like, just if something's like, oh, you're only allowed to use it in a specific way, why would that be a problem to be metame it? Like, tumah is usually like a din in kachim, right? And kedusha, it's not something that we generally see as being relevant to like normal, right? Day-to-day, mundane, the mundane sphere of things. So why should that be a problem? On the other hand, right? If tumah was really a problem, there's no din that you can't eat peroshvias when you're tame, right? And if it fell on you when you were tame, you can still rub it onto your body instead of letting it fall on the ground, which implies what? We're more concerned that the Shemitah oil will get wasted than for you to be metame, right? Because we're saying, oh, once it gets on you, right, you could be metame it. Let's say your hands are tame, but your body is not. Okay, right, you have stam yadayim or tame, your body is not tame, unless proven otherwise. So if you were to rub it with your hands, you're now being matame the shaman of Shemitah, right? If you just leave it on your body and you let it drip off, it doesn't become tame. if the septa says you should rub it in rather than let it drip off onto the floor, right? Which implies that it's worse to let it get wasted than to be metame it. Now, if something's kodesh, it's also to be metame it, right? Even if it's going to get wasted. Just doesn't matter, right? Or at least presumably. However, so side point, there's a sigya in Pesachim, which there's a machlokas tanaim about if that's really true by truma. Right? Truma is usher to be metame. You're definitely not allowed to be metame truma. Erev Pesach, once it, if you have truma that's chametz, are you allowed to burn it? Are you allowed to be metame it when you're going to burn it? Okay, can you burn your tahor truma with your tame truma? So Rabbi Meir says you can because it's all going getting destroyed anyway. Who cares, right? So Rabbi Meir clearly understands the issur of being metame truma is because you're making it unusable, not because there's something inherently problematic with being metame. I'd wonder if you would say the same thing by kachim though, right? But truma is like a good parallel for what type of kedusha we would think maybe kedusha shvias is. Not the same, but similar. But the other time I'm saying you can't. But here we're clearly saying you can be metame perishvias rather than let it get ruined, right, and wasted. Now, there's another idea, which is maybe being metame it isn't a problem because it's kadosh and you can't be metame it, but because maybe we see the tuma as something that is either detrimental, right? We generally think of tuma as something that's only shayach in the mikdash and like is totally minutak from our reality. On the other hand, we actually, there are people, Pizman Bayis Sheni, who are makbit to only eat chulin betahara, and the psukim in Shmini keep talking about tuma when it comes to machal sasuras, right? Tmeim heim lachem. So the idea that tuma is the word that we use for food that is asur b'achila because it's a, you know, it's pig or it's a lizard, or it's, you know, or it's a bug, and food that was touched by a sheretz is tamei. The fact that those are both tamei, even though one is usher and one is only usher by kachim and truma, implies that maybe there's something broader going on. So we might just see tuma as being detrimental objectively. In general, the accepted gisha is not so much that way, but that's a possibility. The third point is, if you have people who only eat truma betara and you're metamei the shvias, then those people won't eat it. And let's say you have a kohen who normally eats truma, right? He can't eat the shmita now with his truma. Maybe you're making a tamei, you're just simply limiting the field of possibilities for the shmita food, and maybe that's like an oblique form of hefsid. Okay? So on the one hand, we have these makoros that seem to give us like this vibe of kedusha. On the other hand, at least the Bavli and the Tosefta, as opposed to maybe the Yushami, all come with caveats where maybe not really, right? Maybe it's not really Kodesh so much as it's Miyuad for specific uses, or, oh, you shouldn't be Metame it, but you can rather than let it get ruined. So maybe the whole Tuma thing is just a din in being ruined. Okay, so we don't really have a clear indication, but we definitely have Makoros that could be interpreted as saying that there's Kedusha. The Ramban, when he's commenting on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, he has a list at the end of all the mitzvos asay and lota asay that the Rambam forgot, right? And you know, it's called like the shikhas ha'asin. The Rambam forgot a few mitzvos, nebach, you know. No, right? The Ramban argues with the Rambam on what to count. But he didn't call it like the chilukei asin or whatever. He called it the shikhas ha'asin. The Rambam forgot these ones. So the third of those is mitzvah shlishi, she'amra Torah b'perot shvi'it, v'hayta shabbat ha'aretz lachem lo achla, v'darshu lo achla v'lo l'schora. Okay, the third mitzvah that the Rambam forgot is the mitzvah of v'hayta shabbat ha'aretz lachem lo achla. Right, that there's a mitzvah that say that perot shvi'it should be for eating, v'darshu lo achla v'lo l'schora, for eating and not for commerce. V'zeh dvar Torahu, k'mo shemru b'acharon, של עבודה זרה, נמצא פורח חובו בפירות שביעית, והתורה אמרה לא אכלה ולא סחורה. וכן במקומות רבים מן התלמוד, בא כלשון הזה, מניח פלזות המצווה במורה יתברך, ואכלו אביוני עמך, שלא אמר לאביוני עמך תעזוב אותם, כמו שאמר לעני ולגר תעזוב אותם, ולקשיך, אבל לשון אכילה מזכיר בהם הכתוב בכל מקום, והנה העושה סחורה בהם עובר בעשה. Now, this Ramban is a little tricky, because on the one hand he's saying, oh, there's this mitzvah saseh that the Rambam forgot, which is eating peiro shvias. On the other hand, he says, what is the mitzvah? Right? Darshu l'achla v'lo l'schora. It's eating as opposed to commerce. Right? Is it the mitzvah is eating, and therefore you can't do commerce? Or the mitzvah is, the Torah said you're allowed to use it for eating, but not for commerce, and the real point is you can't do commerce. Okay? Why? Right? At the end, so at some point, over here in the middle, he kind of sounds like, right, vachlu evyonei amcha, lo amar levyonei amcha tazov otam, right, aval lashon achila mazkir behem, bechol makom, right, he keeps emphasizing that it's lashon achila, they're supposed to eat it. On the other hand, then he says, and therefore what? Vihineho, it says, chora behem over baaseh, right, and therefore, if you do schora, you're violating an aseh, which is like a lava b'mechlal aseh. So what does the Ramban really mean? So the Megillat Esther answers, why did the Rambam skip this? Yira'eli, ki ma shelo man'a harav, hu defi shema shedarshu chachamim la'achla v'lo tzchora, ein perusho shiyehe mitzvah ba'achilatam, rak lo'achla hutar lachem, v'lo lasot behem tzchora. Says, the Rambam didn't count it because it's not a mitzvah asay. Right? You, the Rambam, think that it's a mitzvah asay to eat perush shvias. But the Rambam doesn't think that. The Rambam thinks that it's usher to do tzchora. You're only allowed to eat it. If I say you're allowed to eat it, I'm not telling you have to eat it. I'm just telling you, if you come over for Shabbos and you're sitting at somebody's table, right? So in theory, right, there's no, oh, you have to eat, right? But you're allowed to eat the food at the table. You cannot take the food at the table and walk down the block and like sell it in a kiosk, right? Oh, but you're allowed to eat it when you're at the table. And it's just, oh, because I'm giving it to you for eating, but not for you to go and take it and sell it, right? So Miguel Sasser says the Ramban thinks that it's a mitzvah asay to eat it, but the Rambam thinks that it's a iser asay for you to sell it. You're allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to sell it. Okay. Rav Kook says, oh, what does that mean that there's a mitzvah? How far does that with the Ramban go? It says, in yesh mitzvah ba'achilat perot shvi'it, yesh lomar she'asur lashevet b'ta'anit rishut, mi sheyesh lo perot shvi'it, kozman shelo achla. Says, okay, if there's a mitzvah to eat perot shvi'it, and you have perot shvi'it in your house, and you had like a bad dream or something, you can't go and say, oh, I'm going to have a tainus, I'm going to go fast, because then you're being mevatel on mitzvah saseh of eating perot shvi'it. Right? So Rav Kook says, if you hold like the Ramban, and there's a mitzvah of achilas perot shvi'it, then it's a mitzvah to eat perot shvi'it. And you're not allowed to fast until if you have peros shvias in your house. Right now, that's like, you could say like, oh, there's like a mitzvah to eat it when you can or when you have it in front of you and there's something else. Like he said, no, there'd be a mitzvah to eat it, right? It would be like someone on Pesach saying, oh, on the first night of Pesach, I wanna have it fast. I'm not going to eat anything and just not going to eat matzah, right? You can't do that. Same thing if you have perot shvi'it in your house. Okay? Chazon Ish said, no. In chiyuv le'olam le'echol perot shvi'it, she'enam kikorban shlamim, she'hem mitzvah ba'achilatan. V'ra'iti b'sefer Megillat Esther ubehosafot, asin shel ha'Ramban, asegim o shepirashat ha'Ramban, hefoch mizeh. Aval kavanat ha'Ramban di'isur schorahu m'minyan asin k'mvoar b'dvarav, aval ein aseh ba'achilatan. He says, no. Megillat Esther misunderstood the Ramban. The Ramban is saying that there's a mitzvah aseh. Right? He's saying that there's an iser asay of doing schora. V'ilu tzarich rayot sheish mitzvah ba'achilatan lo heya maspik ma'ad matzinu isur schora. The schora ina bevatelet achilatan. Sharei halokeach yochlam. He says, Adraba, if you're telling me that it's usur to sell it, right? Because that doesn't prove that there's a mitzvah to eat it, because the other guy can eat it too, right? Just because, okay, there's a mitzvah to eat it. Other guy can eat it too. Spread around the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah. You're allowed to sell matzah, right? You got to save some matzah for yourself. Great. Elo b'mnesha ein mitzvah b'achilatan v'lo shayach l'michshva la'aseh min ha'Ramban et isur schora b'minyan ha'asin. Right? The Ramban is only saying that it's the usher right? As a lav haba mechlal asay, as a iser asay to sell it. But of course, there's a mitzvah to eat it. Okay, the Torah Ta'aretz tries to like find the middle ground. Says, wait a second, right? It can't be that there's like a mitzvah asay to eat it, because then how could the Torah? How could we say that you're allowed to use oil of Shemitah to like, you know, to light camp for oil lamps or to use as a dye? Mikol makom im ochel mikayem mitzvah. There's like a mitzvah kiyumis, right? Deha in ze mitzvah chiyuvit sheyechayav lechol rak im ochel mikayem mitzvah. So you can make a tainus and a fast and whatever stuff like that, but if you eat it, you're like mikayem a mitzvah. V'lachen im madlik haner al tzaveh miperot shvit inu mivatel mitzvah b'zeh mitzurat mashu mutar la'achir l'goy perot shvit imu sachir shana sachir chodesh v'lo mrinan dam mivatel mitzvot asay me'achirat perot. So he says, oh, there's a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah chiyuvis, and that's like the pshara. Okay, so we have three approaches. One is there's actually a mitzvah sachila, right? You have perot shvit, you got to eat the perot. There's a mitzvah to eat them. And that's how the Megillas Esther and Rav Kook understand the Ramban. The Torah Ta'aretz says, oh no, it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, but it's a mitzvah kiyumis. And the Chazon Ish says, and the Rambam, according to the Megillas Esther, says, not there's a mitzvah to eat it. There's an iser asay to do schora. Okay. Rav Kahn pointed out something amazing to me. This is Gishmak Chiddush. He says, if you look at the Ramban, he says, I don't know about the Ramban. I don't know what the Ramban thinks about the mitzvah. He says, but the one person I can tell you does think that there's something, there's like a real obligation almost or a purpose in eating Peir Shvi'is, it's the Rambam. Why? Right? It's the opposite of the Megillas Esther and everyone else. He says, look at what the Rambam says. The Rambam, in the Ramban, yeah, let's go to the Ramban. He says, what are the first three mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot? Okay. Mitzvah Rishona, Mitzavinu Lechol Maiser Sheni, Ubechoros B'Yerushalayim. Okay, the Rambam forgot to say that there's a mitzvah of Achilas Maiser Sheni in Yerushalayim. Mitzvah Shnia, Mitzavinu Lechol Truma Kashit Torah. Right? Okay. Right? Those are both pretty much universally understood to be mitzvahs, right? You're supposed to eat Maiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, and Kohanim are supposed to eat Truma. There are Gemaros that talk, there's a Sifra that says that Kohanim eating truma is like eating a basar of the karbanos in the mikdash. It's like doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And they call it avoda shebe gvulin, right? It's like the avoda that you could do outside of the Beis HaMikdash is eating truma. So eating truma is definitely like, you know, not like, oh, if you happen to be in the mood, right? You're supposed to eat ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim. There's like a mitzvah to eat in Yerushalayim. There's a mitzvah to eat truma. And then the mitzvah shlishis is eating, right? Eating peir shvi'is. But the Rambam didn't count any three of these. So look at the Rambam. Rambam says, doesn't say there's a mitzvah to eat truma. It says, what is truma? Truma is nitenet la'achila u'lishtiyah u'sicha, sha'sicha hi kishtiyah v'chula. Truma, the kedusha of truma, is that it's nitan la'achila and shtiyah, right? That it's, the kedusha of it is that you're allowed to use it in these ways. It's mu'ad for these purposes. Ma'aser sheni, nitan la'achila, right? It's kadosh for this purpose. Peroshvit nitnu la'achila. So it's not, says Rav Kahn, right? The Rambam about truma is saying, it's not that there's like a mitzvah to eat truma, right? The kedusha of truma is that it's supposed to be eaten by Kohen, right? Now, same thing is true by Ma'aser Sheni, and the Rambam uses the exact same lashon by Shvi'is. It's that the kedusha of the pri is for it to be eaten by Kohanim if it's Truma, or in Yerushalayim if it's Ma'aser Sheni, right? Or by everyone if it's Shemitah. In which case, there's this Kiddusha that designates it as something that's Kadosh and Mukdash for being eaten. And then, okay, well, wait, is it a mitzvah? Is it not a mitzvah? So there's like a famous, I think it's Reb Chaim, who says the difference between Korban Pesach and other types of Kachim is that by Korban Pesach, you have a mitzvah to eat it. But other types of kachim, the kohanim, aren't mitzvah to eat it. Their mitzvah is that it should be eaten. There's a mitzvah for kachim to be eaten by kohanim. Not that there's a mitzvah for the kohanim to eat the kachim. What's the nafkamina? So I think he's asking it about lechem apanim, if I remember correctly, but also about other things. is that what about less than a kazayis, right? The lechem apanim, everyone, all the kohanim are getting like a teeny bit. He says, wait a second, but then none of them are mikayim mitzvos achila because mitzvos achila is always b'kazayis. So he says, oh, if the mitzvos achila is b'cheftza, so the point is that the cheftza needs to get eaten, right? It's a mitzvah for the cheftza to be eaten. Doesn't matter about the achila sagavra, right? So if the kohen is mitzvah to eat it, or if the ba'ilim are mitzvah to eat a korban pesach, so they have a mitzvah to eat a korban pesach and you need to eat a kazayis. If the basar chatas has a mitzvah to be eaten by kohanim, right? So there's no shir achila because it's not about the gavra eating it, it's about the chatzah being eaten. So if we apply that same logic here, like it's a mitzvah for the truma to be eaten by kohanim. It's a mitzvah for the maaser sheni to be eaten by Yerushalayim. It's a mitzvah for the pair of shivyas to be eaten, right, on Shemitah. In which case, there's really a mitzvah. It's not so much a mitzvah hagavra as much as a mitzvah hachefza, but there's a real mitzvah of achilas kachin, right? So what you actually have is a kedusha snitan, a kedusha in the chefza that says that it has a mitzvah to be eaten, and then the Rambam would say, yeah, these peros are, right, kadosh la'achila, and there would be a kiyum, a mitzvah b'chefza in their achila, which is mind-blowing. Right? Because everyone says, oh, maybe the Rambam thinks there's a mitzvah to eat it. Right? But definitely the Rambam thinks it's just an Isser Schora. He says, no, the Rambam never brings up an Isser Schora. Right? The Rambam says, Truma is Nitan Lachila, Maiser Sheni is Nitan Lachila, Per Shvias are Nitan Lachila. Right? So just like Truma and Maiser Sheni, there's a mitzvah. Right? Maybe it's mitzvah b'chefza, right? Or it's a mitzvah in the Kedusha. So the same thing is true by Per Shvias. Yeah, Rachel.
Oh, I just wanted to be, because you were comparing it to the lechem apanim, so are we saying that the shvius needs to be completely eaten, or that wasn't the comparison?
So no, so by kachim, actually all is supposed to be eaten. I don't think we don't say that by, let's say, truma or maaser sheni.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a nafgamina of this, that goes in that direction, which is, what about hefset, right? Why is hefset going to be aser? What type of hefset is going to be aser? Which we'll get into in a second. But yes, meaning the implication could be is that if the hefset is like a pegam in its kedusha that it's supposed to be eaten, that's kadosh to be eaten, then maybe the iser of hefset would be dependent on that.
Oh, if it's supposed to be completely eaten.
Not necessarily completely eaten, but it's supposed to be eaten, right? Okay. So we'll jump ahead of ourselves a little bit. But if you think it's about the Kedusha is that it's nitan la'achila, let's say you can't eat it anymore, right?
Why not? I'm saying...
For whatever reasons. Okay. Right? Okay. If it can't be eaten, is there an Isser Hefset? So if you think, you know, we'll get to that in a second, but it's important. It is, you're on the right, a good track, right? First things, right? The Ma'arid al-Ghazi basically says, L'fi ha'amur, d'b'rei r'lei l'rabinu ha'ramban, d'ha l'achla v'lo l'schora, v'lo l'schreifa, hu mitzvah tasei, sh'chayav ha'katuv l'achol b'perot shvi'it, v'lo l'asot schora mehem o l'afsidam, אם כן יוצא לנו, דמאחר דקיימלן בעלמא סתם אכילה בכזית, ובין לעניין איסור לאו, ובין לעניין מצוות עשה, אינו עובר על הלאו, ואינו מקיים מעשה, כי אם בכזית. אכילה is בכזית. The mitzvah of לאוכלה ולא לסחורה ולא להפסד is then going to be the mitzvah of אכילה is בכזית. So then, הוא עדין, הכה, לאוכלה אמר רחמנה דווקא בכזית. או תווה מכזית. He's here, רחמנה לאוכלה ולא להפסד ולא לסחורה. אבל פחות מכזית, אינו בכלל מצוות עשה, כמו שהוא בשאר מצוות עשה. זה לא אכילה כעשה, אכילה מעצה וכיוצא, right? And he says, yeah, I actually found the Berkei Yosef says, מצוות עשה, חצי שיר, איקה קצת מצווה מהתורה. So maybe by like, מצוות עשה, they're like, חצי שיר is a little bit of a mitzvah, so maybe yes. But he says, Pashto says, if the point is that there's a mitzvah to eat it, and therefore, it's us to be mafsid it and ruin it, the mitzvah to eat it is only b'kazayis. So the isser to be mafsid is only b'kazayis, right? Why? Because you should be eating it, and now you're not eating it, right? And instead you're burning it. So but if it was less than a kazayis, you couldn't do the mitzvah anyway. So nafkamina, right? You eat your shmita cucumber, and that's all that's left is less than a kazayis, but it's still edible, right? It's still fine. Can you just toss it in the garbage? Is there an isser of hefsid? So according to Marid al-Ghazi, no, because there's no mitzvah sachila anymore, because it's less than a kazayis. So you could just toss it, right? If you have left on your plate or left in the salad bowl less than a kazayis, just toss it, because there's no kazayis, so there's no bitul asay. Right, says the Sfri Deis, Eish, Haramban shemana achilat perot shvit b'minyan ha-mitzvot, kavanato mitam lav abam echal asay, lachlav lo behefsed, aval lo she'ish kan mitzvot achila kamo kachem etshoma, ve'im ken lo shaykh b'zeh shiurim she'ish matza o isur, ve'isur lafsed ino kamo isur achila she'ish bo shiurim, v'shapir chal isur af b'pachot mikzayim. He says, oh, right, it's only an isur, the isur, it's an isur asay, that you're not allowed to do schora or hefsed, and therefore it implies more or less than a kazayis. It's not about achila, so there's no sheer kazayis, so the isser of hefsed would apply to any amount, right? Right, and the Minchas Asher points out explicitly, l'chor is a teloi im yesh ben mitzvah achila, im adiksiv l'ochla mitzvah hi, harei shiurak kazayit. Mistaber efo shigam hadrasha, delo lehefsed shiurak kazayit. Aval im l'ochla achilat reshuti, if it's a mitzvah asay to eat it, so then the mitzvah is kazayis. If it's just, right, if it's not a mitzvah asay to eat it, so, and it's just usher to be mafsid, so then the shiur is not dependent on kazayis, right? So it's any amount. Okay, now, if it's, what if it's not, right? So first of all, if it's a mitzvah kiyumis, so Rav Asher Weiss thinks that it still wouldn't have a shear. If it's an isser hefsid, then it should be, right, without any shear. Because it's about the mafsid the hefsid, who cares? If it's about, there's a mitzvah sase to eat it, so then we should say the shear is kazayis. Because otherwise, if there's no kiyum mitzvah of achila, right, if it's not a kazayis, so then there's no isser of being mevatel that mitzvah sase. What if it's kedusha snitan? Right? If it's kedusha snitan, in which case it's a kiyum b'cheftza, right? So then I would assume that there's no shear, just like we said, I think it's Reb Chaim, about achilas basar chatas. There's no shear of kezayis because the mitzvah isn't for the kohen to eat the chatas. The mitzvah is that the chatas should be eaten by the kohanim, right? If it's a din in the achilas hachefza, there's no shear of kezayis, in which case, if it's kedushas nitan, you're still being mevatel the kedusha, right, by destroying it. So then it doesn't matter. So on the one hand, there's a mitzvah, because it's, right, it's kedushas nitan, just like truma. On the other hand, the mitzvah is b'cheftza, not b'gavra, in which case there's no shear. Okay, now the next thing is a little bit, what counts as hefsid, right? So again, the more we think that it's like a mitzvah achila, then I think we would potentially kind of zoom in on very specific, might have much more demanding criteria about when the mitzvah applies, right? Or how the mitzvah applies. The more it's like an isser on being mafsid, the more I would assume that you actually have to damage it in some way in order for it to be a meaningful hefsid. Just an example, right? The Mishnah says, "Shvi'it nitna la'achila ulishtiyah ulisicha le'echol davar shedarko le'echol v'lasuch davar shedarko lasuch." Okay, so you can to eat. You shouldn't use something that you normally eat for like as an ointment, right? Okay, so it should be eaten. Things that are normally eaten should be eaten. Now the Rambam adds in an interesting caveat from Hilchos Truma. Lo yishane perot mibriyatan. This is Hilchos Shmita. Kiderech she'inu mishane b'truma u'maser sheni. Davar shedarko le'achol chai Lo yochlenu mevushal, davar shedarko lechol mevushal, in ochlenu to chai. Right? The Rambam, out of the blue, says, oh, I'm going to import dinim from Truma and Maaser Sheni. Bing, jackpot, right? Because the Rambam thinks, if Rav Khan's right, which makes a lot of sense, then, yeah, Shemitah is exactly like Truma and Maaser Sheni. And then, by Truma, the Mishnah says, you can't cook things which are normally eaten raw, or eat raw things that are normally cooked. Okay? You have to, like, eat them in their ideal state. Right? Okay? And therefore, exactly fine. Now, that's a big jump, right? Because the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah just says, lecho davar shedarko lecho. Right? If it's meant for eating, you need it, you should eat it and not use it for rubbing. So, first things, the most important thing is, like the Rambam thinks, because since it's Kedusha Smitan, then you can learn Hefsed Shvias from Truma and Maaser Sheni, because essentially they're the same thing, right? There's Kedushas Nitan in the Chatza. It's Nitan, it's Kadosh to be Nitan for very specific uses, and you're only allowed to use it for those uses. And then, since it has the Yud of, it's Nitan La'achila, so just like by Truma and Maaser Sheni, right, you need to eat it in the, let's say, in the most ideal state. Okay? Now, did I bring down the, oh, I didn't bring down the Chazon Ish. However, right, there are other deos on this, where if you think, I'll just like this, if you think it's lachla, velo lehefsid, is about the chefza, right, then the chefza is kadosh, so then what does that lead you to think? So can you blend fruits? So there's a discussion about can you squeeze juice out of fruits and vegetables, out of like fruits. So some Dales think you can't at all because only yayin and shemen are considered like normal, like the ideal mashkin, and everything else you're taking a fruit and you're just like squishing the juice out of it and you're ruining it. Right? I thought I put it in the PowerPoint, but I did not. So I'm going to try to pull that up very quickly. Okay.
Are you talking about Shvius fruit or just fruit in general? Okay.
Shvius fruit. One second. Let's get the, just Shemitah fruit. I really thought I put it on the Makoro sheet, but I guess not. One second. Not put it on the Makoro sheet. Can you have it over here? Okay. Wait. Okay, yes, found it. Sorry. Not sure why. Left out the top of chorus. Okay. So if Cook says, Miyasod ha'inyan shal shinui davar mribiyato, l'gabei dine Torah yesh lanu arba dvarim shim megalim echad al chevero, truma ma'isushini shvit and brachot. She'tamin nuchal la'kish mechad al chevero, unless you know that you can't. Okay, so it's like you can always assume that these are all similar, right? Which makes sense according to the Rambam, but not necessarily according to everybody else, right? Why is that not surprising that Rav Kook is happy, likes that? What do we know about Rav Kook's gisha toward Shemitah? Right, he much more noted towards the idea that there is Shabbat Ha'aretz and the peros of Shemitah are kadosh, and there's like a kedushas chefza, right? Right? He says, anytime you're changing the fruit, right, in a way that's not like the norm, that's a problem. Etc. But point is that also lasot kein b'shel tzumot v'odim b'shviyit mishum shinui mubiyatan avu bishay no shinui me'ochel b'mashke. Right? Of course you can't blend and juice things that are normally eaten, but if you can't even cook things that aren't normally cooked, or right, or eat raw things that are normally cooked, or the opposite, because you have to eat it in like its most ideal state. Okay. Right, Rav Rechim Lechol Tish Kaczynski says, yeah, I don't know if you could actually squeeze and have orange juice on Shmuta, right? And he says, oh, when it comes to Yayin and Shemen, so Mufurasham Sharko Perot, Emishanin Elazetim, and Avim Bavat. Mishum Shash Shemen Vayayin, Hare Hu Gufa Pri, right? We see Yayin, grapes and olives as being purposed for olive oil or wine, but Masha Inkin, right? B'mashkina yotzim mikol shar pirot. We don't see it though, right? And that's why, remember, in the Shabbos days, we brought there are Rishitos who think that only Yayin and Shemen, right, are schita midoraisa. Right, if you were to squeeze any other fruit, it'd only be also midarbanan, even if everyone does it, right? Because right, the fruit is still the fruit, and you're just getting okay. Squeezing juice out of it, you're not processing it more towards its ideal state. You're just, I don't know, mushing a fruit. When it comes to yayin and shemen, so really they're supposed to be liquid, and they're not liquid yet. So now you're making the liquid. You're processing them to their final state. Okay, right? Because kol mashka sheino yotzi mishar peros ino nikra pera who rak zeya ba'alma ulam ini kovea davar zeb masmer. He says, I'm not sure, but I'm chayshish. Right? So he says, you can't have orange juice. Now, you tell me, like, what? I mean, some people have never eaten an orange in their life. They only have oranges, right? So the Chazon Ish takes it, right, says what? Mashmer b'Shabbat. Kol peir zu at zit marein al omdin l'schita. Filu tutin very morning. Kedor arayin v'adi b'sach. V'yesh layin l'data ha'ashba. Im zu imachra shen kol peirot omdin l'schita ha'afim. Okay? Fize. Yesh l'ma l'data ha'ashba. Dimit shal tapuz hevi b'chlal omir l'schita b'zmanin. Im rov tashmisho b'kach. Dim hu miyuta. Says maybe even for Shalat, a bunch of people do it, right? Even if it's relatively common, it doesn't have to be the majority. Even if like a decent group of people, you know, it's not weird. Okay, and he continues, says the Chazon Ish, anytime it's normal, anytime that's what people do, it's fine. What comes out of this? Now, the Chazon Ish we've seen, right, is a big believer in the Gisha of you're limited in what you're allowed to do with Peros Shviyos. Right? God says this is, you know, mine. You're not allowed to use it as if it's your own and right, use it as like a means of creating produce that you're in control of. Right. So it's really God's and you're just, you know, eating al Shulchan Gavah from what God is letting you have. So God lets you have it for using it normally, right? But using it normally is whatever's normal. Right? You're allowed to use it to eat. What's eating? Anything that people normally eat. So what's our definition of normal eating? So says the Chazon Ish, anything that's, you know, relatively normal, right? If the Isser, if the point is that you're allowed to eat it, I'm giving it to you to eat. So what? So if you use it for something else, so you're stealing. Kiviyachol, right? If you were to come over for Shabbos and they're like for dessert, there were, you know, there are like fruit, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a weird fruit. I don't know, there's a mango on the table, right? And you take like half the mango and you like put it in your, I don't know, in your like plate and you like squeeze it and like the juice spritzes everywhere and then you like, you know, drink it off the saucer. That'd be gross. But also, right, that'd be like, I didn't give you the mangoes weren't for like smushing, right? They were for eating. So the same thing is true of Peros Shviyos, right? God's saying, oh, you're allowed to eat from my peros, but they're mine. So you're not allowed to be mafsid them me'achila. They're there for eating, not for destroying. If you do something that's weird, that ruins it, so you're not eating the food that I'm giving you, you're ruining it, right? If you blend you know, I'm trying to think of something that we don't blend anymore. The answer is there's nothing that we don't blend anymore. So you could blend anything, except maybe potatoes, raw potatoes. No, but then you just bake it and it's like a puree and then it's like mashed potatoes. Is there anything that we don't blend? I would say nuts, but that's not true either. Because that's like peanuts.
Do we blend the green beans?
Green beans, yes. Good. Okay, finally. Phew. Saved us. Blended green beans would be gross. And you cannot, right? If you blend the green beans, you're ruining them. All right, that'd be schnass. Yeah, right? But anything else, if you go to Rebar, they'll blend for you, right? They'll make it into a smoothie or in a shake. So you're not ruining it. If it's a din in the chefsa, right? Because the chefsa is kodesh, right? And it's Shabbat Haaretz and the peros are kadosh and you can't be pogea in the kedusha. So then says Rav Kook, you also, and Rav Tukajinzi, you shouldn't be making apple juice and orange juice because you're, right? These things are kadosh and you're really only allowed to use them in like very specific states and being pogea b'chefsa of the pri is a problem. Right? Says the Chazanish, no such we don't care about the chefts of the pri, right? We care about are you limiting its eatability? Are you using it for a non-eating purpose when you shouldn't be? Right? It's about misuse, according to the Chazanish. Right? It's about hefsid. According to Rav Kook, it's about like being pogea in the chefts of the pri, which is kadosh. Right? And then what you have is like if it's about an iser hefsid from achila, so if you're doing normal eating, so it's fine. And if it's not eaten that way, but other, you know, so if no one else will eat it, so then that's a problem, right? But if other people will eat it also, so it's fine, right? Now, a cool enough gemina would be, if it's about, you're not allowed to be mafsid ma'achila, so you don't own it, right? So you're allowed to eat it. Once you're allowed to eat it, once you start eating it, the leftovers are yours. You're allowed to, you know, it's fine. It's yours, right? The leftovers on your plate are yours to do with as you please, right? After like a Shabbos meal, you know, the Baal Bais, once you can't take things from the serving platter and just be like, oh, I'm taking the serving platter home, right? But if you want to take like whatever was left over on your plate, you know, you can ask for a doggy bag. It might be weird, right? But it's not like stealing. If you were to like just scoop up everything from the serving platter, all right, and walk away, you know, that might be financially problematic. But taking it like your own leftovers is fine. So the same thing might be true about leftover Shemitah produce, right? Let's say you have an apple and you eat half an apple. So there's still half an apple on the apple. On the other hand, you ate it. You took the apple to eat, right? And you ate it. It's lachem lachla. Can you just throw out the rest? Or do you have to like let it rot first and then? So lechatchila you should, but fundamentally since it's no one else. No one else is going to eat it now, right? So it's not, you're not being mafsid at law from achila because no one's going to eat it now except for you and you're not going to eat it now. But number two is maybe even before that, it's fine because it's lachem la'achla v'lo lahefsid. God says, I'm not giving it to you for you to do whatever you want with it. I'm giving it to you to eat. Once you take it to eat, the leftovers, right, you don't have to worry about. If it's about kedushas hachefza, right, then you will need to eat it only in a normal way because otherwise you're ruining the chefza. And if you blend it, even if that's how everyone likes to eat it, it might be a problem because you're actually, you know, annihilating the chefza, right? Maybe juicing an orange, even when everyone only eats oranges that way, would actually really be a problem because you just took a kadosh orange and mashed it into oblivion. Right? Who says you're allowed to do that? Says Rav Tikhachinsky. So just because everyone does that, and that's how everyone likes orange, right? Most people eat orange. More people eat orange juice than people eat oranges. But still, like, who says you could blast the orange to oblivion, right? And if it's a return to nature, so you're allowed to eat it, but you can't use it as you want, right? You can't just like, oh, now that you ate some of it, you can do what you want with the rest, because it's not. It's just not in something that you have control over or real access to. You're allowed to eat it, but that's it, right? It's not even like, oh, you're given permission to eat it from a bailus and ownership perspective, right? It's not yours. You have no control over it. As a member of nature, you're allowed to eat just like anyone else in nature can eat, right? But then You can't just like toss it into a regular garbage when, you know, I don't know, with like leftover bleach in there, right? Because you're destroying the chefza of the pri. You know, I'm trying to think of a good example where like you instantly made it, you know, totally ruined. You like dropped it in a bucket of bleach. You're very COVID conscious. So you want to make sure that there's no, just in case, whatever, you don't want like to accidentally get the garbage man infected. Okay, so this chakira is really key because the more you see it as like a kedushas hachefza thing, the more you're really limited in what you can do with the perush shvias, and you need it to really take care of it maybe even afterwards. If it's about the that it belongs to God and he's only letting you take it, le'achla v'lo l'schora, it's about an ownership thing. So then as long as you're using it for a normal use and you used it normally, so then you can more or less do whatever's normal. And leftovers should really not be such a problem, right? Because there's no kedusha on the chefza as much as, right, it's owned by God. Now, the Rambam potentially could fit kind of in the middle. Because on the one hand, he might say, well, it's kedusha asnitan la'achila, so you got to eat it in the most ideal manner. But it could also be that once it's not edible anymore, or once it's not, it can't be eaten or won't be eaten, then it might not matter so much what you do with it. That's like a little speculative. But it could be that like on the eating part, the Rambam will be like, oh, but it's kadosh. But on the, let's say, throwing out the leftovers part, the Rambam will say, well, once it can't be eaten anymore, once no one will eat it, so then it doesn't matter if you destroy it physically or not, because no one's going to eat it. That's like an interesting question, so that kind of leaves us in a gray area in terms of Rachel's question. But that, I think, is like really, this question is really our key question again, which is the more we look at Shemitah as about God's ownership, right? And that you don't own it, God owns it. So the more we can say, okay, but God gave it to you, lachla v'lo lehefsid, and lo l'schora, but it is lachla, and once you're doing achila, you know, you kind of have a relatively big leeway in that. Just like the Chazon Ish says, once you're mafkir it, right, you have a lot of leeway in Otzer Bezdining, right? Because once you acknowledge God's ownership, he gives you a lot of leeway in like how to consume it, right? So he said, oh, Otzer Bezdin, you can, you know, once you, right, made it hefker and Bezdin's taking control, so now you're showing that it doesn't belong to you as a private individual, right? So then Bezdin can like be mechalikate however they want, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. Right? The more you say, like, no, there's kedushas hachefta, and there's like the aretz is show base. So then, again, that's universal, and that's not going to be different because Bezdin's doing it, right? So same also here, we're going to say, oh, well, peros are kadosh, and just because you want to blend it to eat it, right? Who said you can blend it? Who said you could destroy the peros like that? Who said you can do those things? You can eat it, right? But, you know, and we don't say that you have to like eat it while it's still attached to the tree, but the idea that you could blend it or eat it raw if it's supposed to be cooked, or cook it if it's supposed to be raw, is already, you know, too much you taking control of the peros shvias, which might be problematic. Okay, so stop.